Please don't call in unless we ask for calls, because we have with us a very special guest this afternoon who's written books that have sold millions of copies, somewhere probably in the range of 10 million copies. And yet, when I asked him to be on our program today and asked what he'd like to talk about, he wanted to talk about Jesus, Who Is He?, which is a book that came out many years ago. I think we probably read it 10 years ago, but I had the privilege of rereading it in preparation for the program today. And so, Dr. Tim LaHaye, thank you so very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. It's good to hear your voice again. And in fact, your listeners might get a kick out of this. I was jogging this morning listening to one of your programs.
You were.
I do that quite often.
You're still jogging now. You're getting a little old for that.
Well, I'll be 7 more months and I'll cross 80 years on my speedometer.
Well, I think that's maybe why you stay so young, is that you are physically active all the time.
Well, you doctors keep telling us that we got to eat right and we got to exercise.
And I think that's great exercise, great advice. I wish I took my advice as well as you do. Well, you know, I was just so pleased to go back and read this wonderful, wonderful book. How long ago did you write it?
Oh, about 8 or 9 years ago.
Well, I remember reading it at that time. And of course, but it really is the most important issue. I thought maybe we would talk about the Middle East. We'd talk about what's going on in Iraq. But you're absolutely right. The most important issue for any American, for anybody in the world today, really is, who was Jesus Christ? Was he who he said he was? And if he is, of course, what are you going to do about it?
That's right. He is the central figure. In fact, I like to illustrate it this way. There have been 13 billion people aggregately on planet Earth. Half of the world's population that's ever been, they say, is on the Earth today. So that's 13 billion. And for one person to stand head and shoulders above all 13 billion, as being the most influential person in the history of the world, that should attract attention. In fact, you'll get a kick out of this. Jerry Jenkins and I, my co-writer in the fiction series, we were on Larry King Live Show, and he indicated that during one course that he had great respect for Christ, even though he was an agnostic. He wasn't an atheist, but he just wasn't a believer. But he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the most influential person who ever lived. And, of course, he would say that because it's true.
And, of course, this is the message that you bring out so well in the book, and you talk about his influence on art and about on benevolence and about education and equality of women and all the things that he has impacted upon, you know, certainly the influence he's had on so many people's lives, who've given their whole life to try to preach his message.
That's right. He's inspired more people to do greater exploits than they would naturally be able to do, and given hope to more people. It's just incredible how Jesus has stamped his imprimatur. In fact, if you ask who were the greatest philosophers, the most influential philosophers in the history of the world, someone would probably say Socrates, Aristotle, and Plato. Each one of those had 50 years, approximately, in which to communicate their philosophy and influence the world. So that's 150 years between them. And yet Jesus Christ influenced a solitary person than those three all put together, and he only had 3.5 years to do it.
Hold that thought right there, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we have a special guest this afternoon, Dr. Tim LaHaye, and we're talking about his book, Jesus, Who Is He? And it's a book I read 8 or 9 years ago when it first came out, and we were just simply talking about the importance of this one life and the profound influence that Jesus has had on art. The influence he's had on benevolence of people, you know, giving their lives, being missionaries, people giving their lives, forming hospitals to help others, his influence on charity, his influence on education, bringing equality of women, you know, into our society. Really, the whole structure, certainly, of Western civilization was founded on the beliefs of Jesus Christ. And yet, of course, as Tim LaHaye points out, he only practiced, his ministry lasted only 3.5 years. But he never wrote a book, and yet he's had more impact than any other person who has ever lived.
And his exploits while he lived are just incredible. For example, no one in the history of the world has healed so many people as Jesus Christ. And you would appreciate this. I'm sure one of the heartbreaks of a doctor is to see a patient that you know you can't cure. You can help them maybe live a little more comfortably, but you really can't cure them. And yet the Bible repeatedly, and I think it's rather interesting that Dr. Luke, the medical doctor that Paul led to Christ on one of his missionary journeys, had followed him and then interviewed people as he wrote his gospel according to Luke, that he three times said that Jesus had healed so many people that the crowds just surrounded him for healing, and that he looked with compassion on the multitudes, and hear the words, he healed them all. He healed them all. There's never been a professed healer in the history of the world that even claimed he could heal everybody.
And, of course, the book really has a tremendous impact because it goes into the background of all the skeptics and how the people from the Jesus Seminar and the professors at our universities and so many people have tried, you know, to play down and destroy Christianity and undermine its very tenets, but they've been trying to do that for hundreds of years. And
yes,
they're all gone, and still people worship Jesus Christ.
Well, you know, one of the new thoughts that has come to me that I came to after I'd finished the book. As a matter of fact, the book that you have, Jesus, Who Is He, was the first publication, and then I changed publishers for an update on it, and it's called Why Believe in Jesus by Harvest House, and it's in a beautiful paperback edition. But
hold that thought for just a minute. We're going to bring our stations right back with
okay.
us, and then we'll talk about the new edition. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. LaHaye was simply talking about how he has a new edition of the book. Now, it's the same book, I guess, pretty much the same book I have, although it's updated and put out by Harvest House in a paperback edition. And did you change the text of the book at all when it was republished?
No, I think I elaborated on a few things, but the picture on the cover is different. You'll find that the contents are essentially the same, and I hope that our readers have found it exciting, because it was exciting to me. I've written 50 nonfiction books and participated in about 30 fiction books, and this is, without a question, my very favorite. It came right out of my heart to communicate to people that Jesus Christ is in a category all by himself. The fact that here we are 2,000 years after this humble man in a little forgotten place in the world has so influenced the world that we're even discussing it as a miracle. But, you know, Peter Jennings did an interesting review on one of his TV shows, and in fairness to Peter, he always quoted the seminar skeptics, the Jesus seminar skeptics that tried to do everything they could to discredit Jesus, and still do. And by the way, your listeners would be interested in knowing that the Jesus seminar skeptics are financed by Norman Lear.
I wouldn't be so tall surprised, because there really is an organized, very well-financed effort to destroy Christian faith in this country.
Yeah, what better way to do it than undermine the belief in the founder of our spiritual faith? But Peter Jennings, at the end of his program, after giving these people all this TV time to blaspheme against Jesus, then he summed it all up by saying, one thing you have to acknowledge, and that is the real message of Christ Christianity is resurrection, and the greatest proof for the resurrection is that Christianity exists, because it's based on resurrection. Were it not for the resurrection, there would be no Christianity. And I thought, well, that's to his credit. Maybe it'll stand him in good stead now.
I certainly hope so. Well, anyway, of course, you certainly spent a lot of time talking about all the arguments against Christianity, which is one reason why the book is so beneficial, because, of course, you talk about the arguments against it and then how to counter those arguments. And there's some people, you know, who denied, well, I don't think he ever lived, you know. And I've talked to people like that. I don't believe Christ ever lived. And yet, of course, well, how would you answer that? Because you certainly answered that in your book.
Well, it would leave a vacant hole in history. because here you have the person who's influenced the Western world, and let's face it, the Western world has influenced humanity more than any other segment of the world, and it's been motivated and driven by the principles of the teachings of Jesus. So the idea that Jesus didn't live, in fact, Stan, to be honest with you, when I was going to school in college, there was a group that were scoffing at the historicity, they call it, of Jesus, that he actually lived. Now, there is so much archaeological evidence that Jesus lived that hardly anyone brings that up anymore, at least no one that's informed. As a matter of fact, the Jesus ossuary that was uncovered, and archaeology always confirms the evidences of the reality of Jesus' life. Well, the Jesus ossuary even has his name on it. And the claim to fame of the person in that ossuary, where they kept the dried bones of people that had gone on, that his claim to fame was that he was the brother of Jesus Christ, which shows you that Jesus was some personage to be mentioned.
Well, of course, one of the things that I learned from your book, you know, is the fact that there are so many original manuscripts. And, of course, nobody questions that Plato existed, and yet the oldest, you know, document, original document of his writings is, you know, about 1,000 years B.C., something like that. And it, of course, there. What sort of manuscripts do we have, or fragments of manuscripts do we have going back into the very, very first century? In fact, even before 50 A.D., maybe 20 years after Jesus died.
Yes, Josh McDowell, who's probably the best authority on this subject, claims that there are 27,000 bits and pieces of, or entire manuscripts of the account of Jesus' life. That there is no ancient personage that has so much evidence, even kings and people of what renown. There's no one that has anything comparable to the number of ancient manuscripts that prove his existence. And of course, the early church, they live by the promise of his return. And that's one of the things that I try to deal with in this book, is that Jesus Christ was the subject of prophecy. The book of Revelation calls him the spirit of prophecy. The message of the Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Well, he is the subject of prophecy. He's the culmination of prophecy, and he's the source of prophecy. In fact, Stan, I've discovered in my own Bible study since I wrote this book that Jesus Christ gave more prophecies than anyone in the history of the world, anyone in the Bible even, more than Moses. And it's interesting that Moses predicted that someone would come on this world scene through the Jews, and he would be a greater prophet than he himself. And everyone recognizes that Moses was a prophet. And yet Jesus came along and he prophesied, get this, 143 times, different things that he predicted. And I've gone through and carefully analyzed. In fact, one of these days I want to write a book on this subject. And that is that exactly half of that 143 prophecies have been fulfilled, 71, and then there's 71 that have yet to be fulfilled. Well, you say that doesn't add up to 143. Well, no, there's one prophecy that was both fulfilled in the first century and is being fulfilled in our century, and that is where Jesus gave the incredible words. When there was no church, there was no organization, even the Holy Spirit hadn't come, and he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that prophecy has been and is being fulfilled. As a matter of fact, historically, no religion in the history of the world has ever been persecuted by kings and dictators and religious prelates and so on, like Christianity. And yet here we are today, the largest religion in the world. I can hardly believe that last Easter, according to press releases around the world, over 2 billion people voluntarily went to places of worship to commemorate the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
And, of course, really what's so amazing is that the church is growing so rapidly in India, but we're not hearing about it. And the church is growing so rapidly in many areas of Africa, even the areas that have previously been Muslim, the people are turning to Christianity. But of course, we're not hearing about that, you know, on our television sets.
Yeah.
I thought one of the interesting things to me was, you know, the skeptics are always saying that the Gospels were written, you know, long after Jesus' death. Maybe, the first century or the second century or the third century. And, you know, that they would, you know, as you point out, it's the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that really are the most important source of our information on Jesus Christ. So how do we know when they were really written?
Well, there are a number of reasons, and one is that the ancients in the first century, Irenaeus, Ignatius, and Polycarp, and Papias, and many others, all testified to the Gospels, and they quoted from them. And some genius has gone through all the writings of the early church fathers, and they have reproduced every verse in the New Testament except 11 verses, so that you could reproduce the New Testament without any manuscripts just by quoting from the early church fathers. Now, that's evidence that's unshared by any religion in the world.
And, of course, they had to have read these original four Gospels, or at least three of the Gospels, to have been able to quote from them.
Exactly. That's my point. And you have to remember, those were days when the papyrus was not really a curative thing that could last indefinitely. And yet we have replicas of these. And also, we have manuscripts on hand in various... Eusebius was commissioned by... Constantine to
in Muslim
write
schools.
Additional copies of the Bible, and he had written 50 copies of the entire Bible, and those evidences are still today in museums, and that was in about the 4th century. But before that, it went into other, like the Syriac and the Peshitta version and other, and when you take all these manuscripts that stem from them, from the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd centuries, and compare them, essentially, they are the same. And that's the electrifying fact, that when you find an ancient manuscript that goes back to the 1st, 2nd, 3rd century, it doesn't disprove the Bible, it proves it.
And I thought it was really so interesting, you're talking about prophecy, that a lot of people wanted to say that Matthew, I guess, with Mark, quoted Jesus, you know, talking about how the temple was going to be destroyed, that the temple would be totally destroyed. But of course, they did not say it was destroyed. So if it had been written after 70 AD, they would, of course, said, and the prophecy had come true, but they didn't say that. They just told the prophecy as if it had not yet taken place.
That's a very good point.
It was your point, of course. And really, there's so much, as you analyze what it is, that it points to the fact that these really are authentic descriptions of the life of Jesus Christ.
Well, one of the reasons I wrote this book was to help people understand that we have not followed cunningly devised fables, as Peter said, but we have concrete, logical evidence for believing what we believe. And one of the things in, I think, a book that you have reviewed, Nancy Percy's book on philosophy. She was a student of Francis Schaeffer. And she points out that one of the weaknesses of today's church is that it's not teaching apologetics or reasons for believing to the present generation. And young people go into the secular colleges and universities, and they're no match for the professional mind-benders that have collectivized in our colleges and universities.
Oh, that thought we'd be right back. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story,
the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. A secret of healthy aging was recently found among people who have lived unusually long, healthy lives. The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, as well as the Queen Mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, was their daily consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done, get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today, 800-544-8927, 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap, it's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Tim LaHaye. Of course, the copy I have of the book is Jesus, Who Is He? And the new book, is it Who Is Jesus?
I Believe in Jesus.
I Believe in Jesus. And, of course, one of the points you raise is why did God pick Paul? And, of course, how did Paul know so much about the life of Jesus? Well, he had never met him. He had never seen any of the miracles. The question is, where does Paul fit into this? Why was he the most unlikely person in the world picked to become the great apostle who would bring the message to the Gentiles?
Well, one of the reasons is because he makes such a classic example of the transformation in a person's life when they come to Christ. Here you have probably the most destructive individual of Christianity in the first century, who comes to faith in Christ, and after he really meets the resurrected Christ on the Damascus Road, he is so transformed, he went away and became the greatest builder of Christianity. Now, if that isn't a 180-degree opposition curve in one's lifestyle, then I don't know what is. And the question has to be asked, why did he change? What would change this Orthodox Jew who was committed to his faith and opposed Christianity because of his faith, suddenly turn around and be the greatest advocate of his faith? God had a special message for Paul, and that message was that Christ rose from the dead. And in all of his writings, he highlights the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Dr. Stan, I was thinking the other day, one of the evidences that we know that Paul was a chosen man of God and that he wrote the Word of God is the fact that he put his writings out first. He actually wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and a number of his Pauline epistles before the Gospels were written. And yet no one in the church or in the Gospels ever found him guilty of false teaching. He had already committed it to writing, so he couldn't back up. And yet all of the Gospel writers confirmed the accuracy. And then the Apostle Peter, in his 2nd Epistle, chapter 3, he refers to Paul's writing as with the other scriptures. Well, to a Jew like Peter, that had to be reference to the Old Testament. And so he exalted Paul's writing up to the same level as the Old Testament Holy Scriptures.
And, you know, I think it's really so interesting that, as you point out, that certainly Matthew and Mark and Luke were all written very, very not too long after Christ had been resurrected. And the people who would read those books had actually known Christ or known people who'd seen him after the resurrection. So if the tales had not been accurate, well, they would have been discredited at that time.
Exactly. And not only that, John was led of God when he was an elderly man and realized he was the last eyewitness to confront the Gnostics who were coming along trying to teach that Jesus was a good man and he was a spirit, but he wasn't really God in human flesh. And all of the epistles of John and the Gospel of John need to be evaluated in the light of why he wrote. And he says so very clearly in the last chapter of his Gospel, why he wrote. But the point is, he never contradicted the Apostle Paul. He never pointed out any errors in him. In fact, he didn't teach anything that hadn't already been suggested by the Apostle Paul.
And, of course, the amazing, amazing thing, you know, is that ever since the days when Jesus was here on the earth, there have always been people trying to discredit him, whether it be the Gnostics or the Manichaeans, or, you know, and there have been so many different versions that tried to change Christianity. Oh, there's a different God in the Old Testament. He's the bad God, and we've got a different God in the New Testament. And today we see so much effort being put in to discredit Christianity. This is one of the major purposes of our educational system, and certainly of our university system. It's not to educate, it's to indoctrinate our young people and to turn them against God.
Well, I've heard some of the guests on your program point out that we have more communists in the academia of America than in any country in the world.
Right, I'm sure we do.
And that's such a shocking thing to think that our tax money is used to inculcate communism, but it would die a natural death if we didn't support it, because it can't support itself.
Well, it's a system that just doesn't work, and it wouldn't be working anywhere in the world without constant infusions of technology and money from the United States. But that's another subject.
Dr. Stan, if I could interrupt you just
sure you could.
Forgive me for being too patronizing, but I'm saying this deliberately and because I really believe it. I've known you for a number of years now, and I've listened to your four special tapes every month for several years. And I really admire the high price you pay in personal effort and commitment and family and so on to make your program and your writing and your ministry effective in the hearts and minds of people.
Well, God bless, and thanks so much.
But if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America. because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effects dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and Tim, I'm sorry I had to cut you off. Well, we run by a computer. I don't have anything to say, but I appreciate so much your words of encouragement. And, of course, I've been inspired by your work, and I'll tell you this. This book is really so touching because, of course, it gives me the arguments that I need when I'm on the air here and I get people calling in who really don't believe in Christianity. And what can I possibly say to at least get them to want to challenge, you know, this concept and to determine whether or not the claims of the Bible are true? And if we can just get them into the Bible, nothing I say would ever convince them, but if we can just get them into God's Word, this really does have a wonderful ability to change people's lives, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And in fact, you can streamline the advice of what to read if you just read the Gospel of John. You understand that John wrote that when he was probably 80 years old. And he was pulling from the fact that he was the last eyewitness to the events of the gospel. And he lists seven of the most incredible miracles that have ever been performed as evidence that Jesus was more than a man. And in it, he communicates the gospel so clearly, particularly in chapter 3, where he talks to Nicodemus. And you'll find that Nicodemus had a hunger for God, and he wanted to know him. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In fact, he said that twice and pointed out to them that every person has to come into a personal relationship with God. And that's the good news that we have in the Bible, that God wants to personally welcome all people to him. And the way to come to God is to, first of all, believe that his Son was sent from heaven, died sacrificially on the cross, was buried, and then the third day rose again. And call upon him. Recognize that here I am, a sinner. I need my sins forgiven. And that's why Jesus came, that he could forgive the sins of the whole world. However, he couldn't have done that if he was just a man. He was just the product of Joseph and Mary. He couldn't die for the sins of the whole world. But if he was the Son of God, then that was divine blood that flowed from his veins, and that could cleanse the sins of the whole world. And the climax, to me, that makes everything so important is that God raised him from the dead, which was God's stamp of approval that what he had done on the cross in dying for our sins was acceptable as a sacrifice for sin. And the resurrection stands as a beckoning tool to all of us. And recently I went and led a tour of people to the Greek Isles and Athens and so on. Went to the city of Thessalonica where Paul went. And Paul's message to the Thessalonians was that Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament prophecies. He lived on this earth, died and was buried, and he rose again the third day. And many of them would call on the name of the Lord when they got to the resurrection and realized that the proof of the resurrection is the existence of Christianity itself. And there was Paul, Exhibit A, as we talked earlier. He had been changed so dramatically by the power of Christ. He's a constant witness, as we are. We're witnesses. I shudder to think what some of us would be, Stan, if it weren't for the coming of Jesus into our lives.
And, of course, I think Paul made that so clear. You know, if Jesus is not resurrected, then everything we do is futile. There is no hope for mankind. And of course, one of the hardest things, I think, for the skeptics is to believe in the supernatural and to believe in the resurrection. But, you know, and yet, of course, people will watch television all the time and see all these crazy programs about mediums, and they don't think there's anything unusual about the supernatural there. But when you tell them about the supernatural things that God did and that Christ did, why, they just can't accept that.
Yeah, and the thing that has been so exciting to me as a minister, you know, I started preaching 57 years ago. And the thrilling thing is to look back or to meet people that heard me preach years ago and received Jesus, and he changed their lives. As a matter of fact, Stan, you know, I wrote this fiction series with Jerry Jenkins, my fiction partner, and they've gone everywhere. 62 million copies in print now.
62 million copies, that's amazing.
With the kids' video, or kids' books also. And I meet people everywhere that come to me and say, oh, I've got to tell you this story. But one lady down in St. Louis, I'd preach for an evangelist at a Bible conference that he was running it, and she cornered me in just before I went to a plane to go to preach the next morning somewhere else. And she said, I've got to tell you this story. Now, here's a woman, Hispanic, fluent Spanish and English, well-dressed, very sharp businesswoman. And she said, I am in the export-import business, and mostly we sell military weapons to foreign countries. And every month I had a man come from Ecuador, and he was so nasty and impolite and profane, I always dreaded getting up in the mornings when I had to service his account. And she said, until last month. And he walked into my place. He was well-dressed, shaven, polished, and polite. She said, I couldn't believe he was so kind. After we'd worked together on his order for his country, I turned to him and I said, what on earth has happened to you? You're a different person. And she said, his eyes filled up with tears and said, well, someone gave me a copy in his Spanish of a book down there in Ecuador called Left Behind. And he said, I read it, and I realized I needed to accept Jesus, and I did, and he changed my life. And the incredible thing about it, Stan, is that he didn't even know his life should be changed that much. He just was changed by the indwelling Holy Spirit.
And you know, one of the things that so really demonstrates, and I've seen it, and I know you've seen it many more times, is this amazing thing that happens to people when they really do accept Christ. You really see their lives transformed. I can remember when I was practicing medicine, and a couple of the most impossible doctors you could just imagine, they were just so nasty. And then suddenly, that transforming influence, transformation of Jesus Christ, it came into their lives, and they were entirely different people. And, you know, people would remark about it. Of course, they didn't understand why they'd been changed, but they really were transformed. I'm sure you've seen that so many times.
Oh, yes.
And that if that isn't a miracle, nothing is.
I just had a girl stop me in a hotel. I went to Applebee's with my wife and in the restaurant. And Tuesday night, and she said, are you the minister that writes books, or do you know him? You look like him. And my wife said, well, he is him. And so she filled up with tears immediately. In fact, she got so choked up emotionally, she couldn't even talk. She said, excuse me, I'll have to get control of myself. And she came back and she explained that she had been sent to prison for 3 years, that she had become such a dropout, she lost custody of the illegitimate child she was trying to raise, and the child's father took her back. And so this woman was just down at the bottom in the dregs of society. And she said, in the prison, we had 3 copies of your whole set of books. Someone had donated them to the prison. And she said, I read the first 6 and accepted Jesus, and he transformed my life. And she said, now I'm going to college. I'm trying to get my daughter back, and I'm trying to bring my life into peace. And she was going to, I was going to recommend a good church because so important for people to go to a good Bible teaching church after they get saved. She was already going to one. And it was amazing how the Lord had so transformed her life. I guess that's got to be the most fun experience I have in life.
I'm sure it is, and I'm sure it's very gratifying, and I know that God has used you for, I guess, what, 50-some years now that you've been out there, 53 years that you've been out in the ministry, and then, of course, you left the ministry, and you took up writing, and there, of course, you're able to reach people all over the world much more than you would have if you'd simply stayed in your church.
Well, Stan, if you don't mind, I'd like to tell your listeners about the last big mountain that God has given to me to climb.
All right.
I have always dreamed of, you know, we always curse Hollywood for the low moral standards and the bitterness. But one of the things I learned years ago, it's better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Now, that's part of your whole ministry. Instead of grieving over the mess that America's in, you try to light candles and get people thinking correctly. Well, to me, the most powerful vehicle to the human mind ever invented by man has been film.
Right.
TV, movies, now DVDs and so on. And I have prayed and worked for years. And Lord willing, next Wednesday, I will sign a contract with the largest film producer in the world to do some of my books into movies and DVDs and enter that whole area. They can, believe it or not, they approach me with the idea that there are so many evangelicals that never go to movies because of the low standard of morality in the average movies that they won't attend, but they would if something was faith-based. But we can't do it. We need your help. And so they've asked me to be kind of an imprimatur, a good housekeeping seal of approval on what is acceptable to the evangelical mind.
Well, now, are these going to be your Left Behind books, a series, or are these going to be other books?
That and plus a number of other things that are not made into books but would make excellent movies. You know, we Christians have an army of books and material that would make excellent movies with a message, but the secular world would never let us into it. But now they finally have done that. The passion has proven to them. You know, Mel Gibson made something like $1 billion.
Well, I'm just so glad that he did because, you know, Hollywood would not even distribute it even once it was made.
But they got his attention. He got their attention because they're interested in making money.
Well, I'm really so pleased to hear that. You know, at one time, there was certainly they called the so-called Hayes office. They had a couple.
Yes.
There was a Catholic office and a Protestant office, and we had worthwhile movies. You didn't even see a man and woman to bed together. And then, of course, for some strange reason, both the Catholics and the Protestants pulled out, and I know our friend Ted Baer has talked about how, I mean, I think it was Samuel Goldwyn or one of the people there pleaded with them not to leave, that it would be the end of Hollywood and it would just turn to depravity, but they insisted on leaving, and of course we know what happened, and it almost seems like we're going full circle.
Well, they're waking up to the fact that some of the most wholesome movies have been the best sellers in Hollywood at a time when they're losing their audience, they're falling apart, and some of these solid movies that communicate a message are the ones that people want to see. In fact, it isn't just Christians. Now, one of the things I'd like to do is set some high standards for quality production for Christian entertainment. But more than that, I want to communicate some of the biblical principles that are found in the Bible and expose people to the gospel. In all of our books, our Left Behind books, we have what I call a believable conversion that's reproducible in the heart of the reader. Well, I've explained to them that if I get involved in this project, somewhere in each film, we'll have someone who comes to Christ. In one case, we have an FBI agent. In another place, a former woman of the street. In other places, it's a science professor. And these are good illustrations of everyday people coming to faith in Christ, and He changes their lives. And then trust the Holy Spirit to lead some of these people to accept Christ Himself.
Well, it may be that the motive of the people in Hollywood is to make money, but God can use anyone to put His message out. And I think this, we're at a time in the history of our nation where we need you in Hollywood, and we need you supervising the production of those films, because they're coming to you because they know the Christians will trust you, and I know that you're not going to compromise at all with them.
Well, I'm going to give it my best shot. In fact, they asked me if I would set the parameters of what I would endorse so that they wouldn't waste any money and time. And so I had the privilege of writing 10 different things, starting with no denigration of Jesus Christ, respect toward God, and no profanity and no immorality and so on. Went right down the list. And my lawyers looked at that before they sent it on to be incorporated in this contract, and they kidded me and said, "So these are Tim's 10 commandments."
Well, I think that's so exciting, and I hope our listeners will follow that. I know I will certainly be following it. And then, when will they start the production? Are they going to take from the very beginning of the Left Behind series and just go through all the books?
No, we can't do that because of the schlocky videos that they've already put out, the people that have bought those. But we're going to start with Nikolai. But the first one is going to be entirely different. It's just going to be a regular box office movie on following up after The Passion. And then there will be others. I'd like to write in fact, I'm in the process of writing a fiction story that answers the false teachings of the Da Vinci Code.
Oh, I think that's so vital.
Secret.
That's going to be so important because they've got Tom Hanks in that. And if there was ever a blasphemous movie, and my wife just typed on the screen, "Amen."
God bless her.
Well, you know, I think that really, what a wonderful opportunity, because you're absolutely right. Movies can move our emotions, but they can change our perspective. And I'm just so pleased you're going to have an opportunity to do that. And I'm really pleased that there are visionaries in Hollywood, whatever their motivation may be. God can use even the most base individual to push His philosophy,
exactly right.
His religion.
I had a practicing Jew, man about 45 years old, and I explained to him my vision and that I thought that we could make them a lot of money and I could get my message out to the secular community. And he said, "Well, I'll be honest with you. I have produced a lot of movies that I'm ashamed of and embarrassed to have my name associated with." He said, "I would like to produce some movies that I wouldn't have to apologize to my teenage kids when I take them." And he said, "Sometimes they've been so bad, I almost felt like I should put my hands over their eyes and over their ears so they didn't hear what I had produced."
Well, let's hope that these new movies that come out will be not only a credit to Him, but a credit to our Lord, which is what it's really all about.
That's my dream.
Well, we have about a minute before we have to let you go. What would you be your parting thought for our listeners?
Recognize that Jesus Christ is the one and only. He said those immortal words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." I've heard you quote those words, Stan. And the reason he could say that is because it is true. He is the only way, because He's the only Son God sent to save the world.
Well, God bless you, and thanks very much for taking the time to be with us this afternoon.
It's been a real honor. I've enjoyed it. God bless you, Stan.
And God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our interview with one of the really great Christian leaders of our time, a man who's had more impact, greater impact than anybody else I know on the modern world.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened to TWA 800 on the route down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts, entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that will give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean real, hard-to-find, all-natural Pure Soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, or antibacterials. Probably never, right? Hey, folks, Michael Trudeau here, and I want to tell you about my friend Marty. He's the owner and founder of the Calben Soap Company. For the past 55 years, the Calben Soap Company's been making triple-concentrated Pure Soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calben Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. Calben Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients. It's earth-friendly and it's safe. Call the Calben Soap Company today toll-free at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Visit them on the web at calbenpuresoap.com or call for information at 1-800-340-7091. That web address again is calbenpuresoap.com. Try Pure Soap once, and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
You know, when I was growing up, my parents weren't worried about our education. We were taught the basics of math and English, science and history, the joy of art and music, and the need for sports. And our generation turned out leaders in every field. But as a parent today, I am concerned with my child's education. That's why I chose VHM Christian School. I know that at VHM, my children are getting a quality education with a biblical foundation. I'm not worried whether they'll be prepared. I know they are. VHM gives my children the tools to succeed and instills moral values. There are so many issues for me to be concerned about. I'm glad my children's education is not one of them. Won't you call VHM today? Your child is worth it. Call 475-4762. That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time when I really need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out across America 5 hours every day on the radio, and 5 hours every day on the Internet, and 4 hours a day on satellite and shortwave. But we have a unique opportunity to reach people throughout the world with a very simple message. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and of course Jesus Christ is the answer. So we really do hope, if you believe that there is a problem today, that you believe that we really have an obligation to be involved, we're called to be involved. This is God's battle, but we're to be the soldiers in His army. Then give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month. You'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do. And, of course, we're now on a new network, 3 o'clock every afternoon in the Midwest, and on 16, 17 stations there. And then, of course, our weekend program on 35, 36 stations. It's an expensive proposition, but, well, this is what I feel called to do in my twilight years. And just as Tim was called to write, and now, of course, look how God is utilizing Tim LaHaye, and now even in Hollywood. So, but we do hope, of course, that many of you will want to get some of the information we have to really understand the true extent of what we're up against. If you have not yet read The Beautiful Side of Evil, that wonderful book by Johanna Michelson, we do carry it. Johanna was a medium, as it were. She was able to contact the dark side, and it was really not a gift, but a curse. And then, of course, we have a four-tape set going to the background of the supernatural. We have a four-tape set on Satanism and deliverance. We carry the book Aleister Crowley and His Friends, because Aleister Crowley was a Satanist, one of the most influential men in the world today. And then, of course, we carry the book Blood on the Altar, going into the background of Aleister Crowley. And, of course, Crowley's influence on the music industry and on Hollywood and on the Beatles and the Beach Boys and really on so many of Led Zeppelin, so many of the music groups that influenced and molded the outlook today was very, very profound. And if you'd like to, of course, the videos, they sold their souls for rock and roll. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. You need to get it. You need to watch it. You need to help us get the information out. You need to get the young people to watch this, because, of course, they are attacking their minds. They've targeted their minds. And believe me, there truly are satanic people in the world, working within our courts, working within our schools, working within our government at the highest levels. And their goal is a new world order and a new world religion. And, of course, on the other side are just a few people out here who understand what's going on. Let me suggest the videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll. The video Megiddo, Part 1. Megiddo, Part 2. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to see how it really fits together, go to our website and look up my June newsletter, The Occult Hierarchy, Part 2. And then, of course, if you would like to, of course, if you don't have access to the Internet, call us at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for a copy of The Occult Hierarchy, Part 2, and we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. And then we want to remind you about our all-day conference that we're going to be having here in Santa Cruz on the 19th of November. That's the 19th of November. And if you can possibly make it, why, please come. We have to know ahead of time, however, as we are serving lunch, we have to know how many people are going to be there. And we want to remind you, we do carry the Berkey products. If you'd like to get a big Berkey or Berkey Light to get it to us, why, of course, you'll get a video or a four-tape set, one that we have produced. Don't forget about our new DVD and video called Planned Population Reduction. If you can stand to hear me talk for 2.5 hours, this is very professionally produced and well done. Pray for America. Pray for Radio Liberty. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.